Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of Schaltbau Holding AG. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by the zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand over to Mr. Kai Holtmann, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Today we will have our CEO, Jürgen Brandes, and for the first time, our new CFO, Steffen Mundz, who has just joined the executive board, lead you through the call. Steffen Mundz has replaced Professor Dr. Thorsten Grenz, who has served as the CFO since 1st of September 2020 on an interim basis, and who has returned now to the supervisory board. As in previous sessions, Volker Kregelin has also joined us, of course, and all board members will be available for any questions you may have during the Q&A session. Now, the company presentation supporting this call is available from the investor relations section of our website. However, if you are not online at the moment, you should still be able to follow the call. Ladies and gentlemen, today's presentation contains forward-looking statements regarding future developments based on the information currently available to the company. As a result of risks and uncertainties, actual outcomes could differ from the forward-looking statements made in this presentation. Schaltbau does not intend to update these forward-looking statements. Furthermore, financial figures provided in this presentation may not add up due to rounding. Finally, please take notice that this call will be recorded and that a replay of the call will be made available on our website shortly. Now I hand over to Jürgen. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Kai. And a very warm welcome from my side to everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, this is my first analyst and investor call in my new position as CEO of Schaltbau Holding AG. Thus, I'm very glad to present and discuss with you a quite exciting agenda of topics today. First of all, with Volker Kregelin and my new colleague Steffen Mundz as a new CFO, the company has completed the change in the executive board now. With the current composition of the executive board, we feel very well positioned to pursue the strategic opportunities for Schaltbau, not only in its core business within the rail sector, but also in the new market segments, which are developing rapidly based on the increasing number of DC applications and e-mobility. Our proven technology serves us as an ideal starting point to provide safety and reliability for advanced battery-based DC applications. Today, we will share with you our refined strategy 2023 and our respective midterm targets, as well as our plans for financing, which we have secured together with several of our key investors via mandatory convertible bonds. But first, we will give you an overview of our financial year 2020 final figures and our forecast for 2021 in light of the current COVID-19 impact. For this, I now hand over to my new CFO. Steffen, please.
Thank you, Jürgen, and good morning to everyone on the call. And thank you for the warm welcome. My name is Steffen Mundz. I am the new Group CFO of the Schaltbau Group since yesterday. I would like to thank my predecessor, Professor Grenz, for the very effective onboarding and a smooth transition. I look forward to working together with the Executive Board to create sustainable value. I strongly believe there's a lot of upside potential in the company. I will review our financial results for fiscal year 2020 on the group level. Then I will walk you through segment results for the full year 2020. Finally, I will outline our guidance for fiscal year 2021. Moving to slide 4. We are pleased that we are back on the profitable growth path after successfully completing the restructuring program from 2017 to 2019. Our revenue came in at 502.3 million during the fiscal year 2020, up 2.1% on the like-for-like basis. We delivered an EBIT of 21.7 million, up almost 20% year-over-year. As a result, the EBIT margin was at 4.3% of revenue, a margin expansion of 0.6%. We are pleased that we delivered our financial promise. All three performance indicators, orders, revenue, and EBIT margin, came in at the higher end of our most recent guidance. On slide 5, you can see an overview of the key company highlights in 2020, as well as an overview of our guidance for 2021. The business environment was heavily impacted by the unprecedented challenges due to the global COVID-19 pandemic. In this very challenging business environment, our core end markets in the rail sector proved to be highly resilient and non-cyclical. Overall, we are well positioned in attractive end markets in the rail sector, which are backed by long-term growth trends. The largest ever rail modernization program in Germany, the so-called Digitale Schiene Deutschland, starts in 2023, and the program funding has finally been secured. We will significantly benefit from this modernization program in the medium to long term. In addition, we are pleased to see that our targeted end markets of new industry, new energy, and e-mobility are gaining momentum. We are well positioned to capture the business and growth opportunities. Schaltbau performed very well in 2020 despite a challenging COVID-19 environment. Our business model proved to be highly resilient. While we performed overall in line with our expectations, some parts of our business were and are still impacted by COVID-19. We are pleased to be awarded with the first or pilot order for the digital interlocking technology for a regional track in Germany out of the COVID-19 economic stimulus program. With this pilot program, we are gaining access to the very attractive market for digital interlocking rail base on the U-Link interface. As announced, the transition of the new management board has been completed with a new senior management team in place. We have a clear strategy and commitment for sustainable value creation. We are pleased that we are back on the profitable growth path after successfully completing the restructuring program from 2017 to 2019. We delivered an EBIT of 21.7 million euro on revenue of 502 million during the fiscal year 2020. Revenue was up 2.1% and EBIT was up 19.9% on a like-for-like basis respectively. The EBIT margin came in at 4.3% of revenue, a margin expansion of 0.6 percentage points compared to the same period last year. We are pleased that we delivered our financial promise. All three key performance indicators came in at the higher end of our most recent guidance. While we are very pleased with our financial performance in 2020, despite a challenging environment, we need to further improve the financial performance of the company, in particular the EBIT margin, the capital returns, and the cash generation going forward. On the back of a healthy backlog, we look ahead with optimism to fiscal year 2021. We expect to further improve the financial performance on a modestly growing top line. For fiscal year 2021, we do not expect the COVID-19 pandemic to have a permanent effect on the business activities for the group. Order intake is expected to be in the range between 550 and 580 million, an increase of 5% at the midpoint of the range. Group revenue is expected to total between 520 and 540 million euro in 2021, equating to a growth of 5.5% at the midpoint of the range. We expect an EBIT margin of around 5% of revenue in 2021, a margin expansion of another roughly 100 basis points compared to fiscal year 2020. If you turn to slide 6, I will review selected key performance indicators for fiscal year 2020 in more detail. Order intake was 538.3 million, down 1.4% year-over-year as reported, and up 1.1% on a like-for-like basis, excluding the divested businesses Alte and Cepsa in 2019. Orders came in at the higher end of our guidance of between 520 and 540 million euro. The order increase was largely due to the pilot order for the digital interlocking system in Germany out of the COVID-19 economic stimulus program that we were awarded at the end of last year. The book-to-bill ratio was at a healthy level of 1.1 at the end of last year. The order backlog was at 502 million as per end of December 2020. Revenue. Group revenue came in at 502 million euro, down 2.2% as reported and up 2.1% on a like-for-like basis. All segments contributed positively to the increase of the revenue on a like-for-like basis, with the exception of the Schaltbau segment. The organic revenue growth was primarily due to the increase of the very robust rail door business at Bode, along with very strong growth of our e-mobility and refurbishment business at SBRS. The group EBIT was 21.7 million euro, up 26% year-over-year as reported, and up 20% on a like-for-like basis. The EBIT finished at the higher ends of the initial guidance for 2020. The increase of the EBIT is primarily due to a modestly higher revenue volume, productivity improvements, strong cost control measures, partly offset by the goodwill impairment at SPI affecting the Schaltbau segment. As a result, the EBIT margin expanded by 100 basis points to 4.3% of revenue as reported and improved by 60 basis points on the like-for-like basis. Turning to slide 7, I will spend a few minutes on selected key balance sheet indicators. Net working capital increased by 3.8% or 4.6 million to 127.4 million in 2020. The increase is mainly due to the increase in inventory due to COVID-19 related project delays and a decrease in accounts payables, partly offset by lower receivables and an increase in customer prepayments. It is worth mentioning that our net working capital performance improved significantly in Q4 compared to Q3. As a percent of last 12 month revenue, net working capital increased by 1.5 percentage points to 25.4% as compared to 23% as per end of December 2019. We will put more focus on net working capital management. There is clearly room for improvement. Going forward, we will focus our business steering besides profitability on the return of capital employed, the so-called ROCE. ROCE is not only measuring the efficiency of the capital employed, but also a clear measure for the value created. ROCE was at 8.1% as per end of fiscal year 2020, an improvement of 1.7 percentage points as compared to end of December 2019. The improvement was primarily due to the improved EBIT on a constant level of capital employed. The financial leverage improved by 0.6 turns from 2.5 as per end of 2019 to 1.9 as per end of 2020. The development is mainly due to an increase of the EBITDA on slightly lower net debt. Now I will provide more color on the financial results of our four reporting segments. Moving to slide 8, I will start with our rail infrastructure business, Pinch. Pinch recorded a very strong increase in orders. Orders were at 112 million, an increase of almost 37 million or 48% compared to previous year. The order increase was largely due to the pilot order for the digital interlocking system for a regional track in Germany out of the COVID-19 economic stimulus program that we were awarded at the end of last year. In addition, a continued high demand for axle counting system and level crossing technology contributed positively to the very strong order intake. The book-to-bill ratio was at a very high level of 1.5 at the end of last year. We are very pleased with the development of our rail infrastructure business. Pinch will be a major source for value creation in the next coming years. Revenue was at 75.8 million, up 3.3 million or 4.6% on a like-for-like basis. The increase was mainly due to a continued high demand for Excel counting system, level crossing technology, and completed projects in the shunting business. EBIT came in at 3.9 million in fiscal year 2020, up 36% compared to previous year. The increase is primarily due to a higher revenue volume, along with a positive one-time effect from the deconsolidation of Pinch Brasil. As a result, the EBIT margin expanded by 190 percentage points from 3.3% to 5.2% in 2020. Moving next to the rolling stock segment Bode on slide 9. Orders at Bode were at 251 million, down 9% compared to previous year on a like-for-like basis. The decline in order intake was primarily due to the bus and automotive business in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. We saw lower order intakes by all major bus and automotive manufacturers due to the temporary plant closures and negative market developments. In addition, as announced, we were affected by the phase-out of the street scooter decided by Deutsche Post at the beginning of last year. The good news is that the order intake in the core rail door business remained on a very high level. Overall, the book-to-bill ratio remained at a solid level of 1.0 in fiscal year 2020. Revenue was at 257 million, up 4% on a like-for-like basis. The increase in revenue was mainly attributable to the rail business, which more than compensated the sharp decline in the bus, especially the coaches segment and automotive business. The rail door business benefited in particular from the ramp-up of two major projects in North America. Bode delivered an EBIT of 4.2 million in fiscal year 2020, down 39% compared to previous year on a like-for-like basis. The decrease was primarily due to an unfavorable product and customer mix in the bus and automotive business, along with a temporary productivity decrease in connection with the COVID-19 pandemic. It is worth mentioning that in particular a restructuring provision as one-time effect was recorded in Q3 and Q4. As a reminder, a positive one-time insurance income due to the flooding damage had a significant positive impact on the financial result in year 2019. As a result, the EBIT margin contracted by 120 basis points from 2.8% to 1.6% in 2020 on a like-for-like basis. Excluding one-time effects, in particular the provision for restructuring, the EBIT margin in 2020 reached 2.6% and were essentially flat compared to previous year. Moving next to the components business of Schaltbau on slide 10. Overall, the components business was heavily impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Orders were at 139 million, a decrease of 13% compared to previous year. The decline in orders was primarily due to a soft order intake, in particular from OEMs and customers in the railway market in light of the COVID-19 situation. More specifically, the orders declined in China, the US, and across Europe. In Germany, the order softness was largely offset by the strong orders growth in the new business, new industry, new energy, and e-mobility. Despite the soft order intake overall, the book-to-bill ratio remained at a solid level of 1.0 in fiscal year 2020. Revenue was at 140 million, down 10% year-over-year. The decrease in revenue was primarily due to the outlined market softness in the railway market in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. EBIT came in at 19.7 million in fiscal year 2020, down 19% compared to the previous year. The decrease was primarily due to the significantly lower sales volume along with a required goodwill impairment of our Italian legal entity SPI in the amount of 5.1 million that we recorded in Q4. Adjusted by the goodwill impairment of SPI, the EBIT would have been at 24.8 million, 0.6 million above previous year. In other words, the strong decline in sales volume was more than offset by strong cost control measures, including a reduction of the work time. The EBIT margin was 14.0% of revenue as compared to 15.6% in fiscal year 2019. Again, adjusted by the goodwill impairment of SPI, the EBIT margin would have been at 17.3%, 1.7 percentage points above the previous year, despite the significant decline in sales volume. I will conclude the review of the segment results with our refurbishment and e-mobility business on slide 11. SBRS recorded another very strong year in orders. Orders were 36 million, an increase of 60% compared to previous year. The order increase was due to a strong increase in orders in both the e-mobility or fast charging infrastructure business and the rail modernization or refurbishment business for rolling stock. The book-to-bill ratio was at a very healthy level of 1.2 at the end of 2020. Revenue was at 29.8 million, up 80% year-over-year. The increase was mainly due to the completion of major projects in e-mobility that were won in 2019. The segment delivered an EBIT of 2.7 million in fiscal year, up 1.4 million or 108%. The increase is mainly due to the higher sales volume in combination with a favorable business or project mix. As a result, the EBIT margin expanded by 90 basis points from 7.9 to 8.8 in 2020. I will close my presentation with a guidance for fiscal year 2021 on slide 12. On the back of a healthy backlog, we look ahead with optimism to fiscal year 2021. We expect to further improve the financial performance on a modestly growing top line. For fiscal year 2021, we do not expect the COVID-19 pandemic to have a permanent effect on the business activities of the group. Order intake is expected to be in the range between 550 and 580 million euro, an increase of 5% at the midpoint of the range. Group revenue is expected to total between 520 million and 540 million in 2020, equating to a growth of 5.5% at the midpoint of the range. We expect an EBIT margin of around 5% of revenue in 2021, a margin expansion of another roughly 100 basis points compared to previous year. The improvement of the EBIT margin is expected to be mainly due to the operating leverage from the higher sales volume, further improvements in direct labor productivity, material cost savings, and a continued high focus on strong cost controls. With that, I will hand over to Jürgen, who will continue with our strategy update.
Thank you, Stefan. Before I will give you a quick overview of our strategic directions, I would like to summarize why we are convinced that the Schaltbau Holding AG share is indeed an attractive investment. Please turn to page 13 in our presentation. We are operating in highly attractive markets. The railway industry, for example, is quite stable with moderate growth and even during the COVID-19 pandemic has not experienced any major downturn over the recent months. We see ourselves as market leader for safety critical rail components and systems, and our advanced technology and products cannot be copied easily. Our customers like our brands, Pinch, Bode and Schaltbau. In addition to that, we are enjoying high market entry barriers into this market, so our competition in our marketplace is rather limited. And please keep in mind, the rail sector depends very much on public spending. This ensures stable business going forward, but also limits our growth opportunities within this segment. In the rail sector, we are enjoying a resilient diversified business model with a broad base of different customers across different geographies. Nevertheless, we do have a major upside potential which we have not harnessed yet enough. I'm talking about the attractive after-sales market for services and refurbishments. Now to the most promising business topic, shaping our future, DC technology, a term you will hear quite often within the next minutes. All trams have using DC technology since decade, as you only need one head wire to supply power to the tram. We as Schaltbau own many technologies, having valuable IPs and have been ensuring safety and reliability for almost 90 years in this technology. In recent years, batteries have become more and more powerful, and we are now seeing many new use cases in mobile but also stationary applications. We call them DC microgrids. For example, high power batteries are stabilizing critical electrical infrastructure, supporting the energy generation of solar panels, and even in modern production facilities, DC microgrids are energy saving concepts for high dynamic motion control applications. This rapidly growing number of DC applications outside the railway sector will allow us to expand our business quite fast into new market segments. I will elaborate on this later in more detail. But last not least, after some unsuccessful M&A experience and after refocusing and restructuring our company where necessary, we are now back on track. Our predecessors have really done a great job in this regard. All business units are profitable now. Nevertheless, we do see the need to increase our financial performance, namely our margin, the return on capital employed, and finally also our cash flow. The 4.3% group EBIT margin we achieved in 2020 is certainly not something to be excited about. In particular, the margin situation at Bode is not where we want it to be. Therefore, our top priority going forward will be to improve these financial key performance indicators throughout the group. We want to grow our business, but we will make sure that the use cases for growth are profitable. This is a clear commitment of the new management team. Page 14. Let's quickly have a look at our business model in the rail sector. We are experts for safety and reliability in both segments, rail infrastructure and for entry systems in rolling stock. Since decades, today and tomorrow, this core business of us, the rail business, gives us stability as there is a growing need for eco-friendly means of mass transit, transportation, and this guarantees a stable demand for our rail business. Besides the business with new rail cars, our additional focus will be service and refurbishment offerings for the rail operators. As already indicated, our rail business is just part of the story. Slide 15. Our business today, as you can see on this slide, is divided into our core railway business, marked in red in the presentation, and our DC components and application business, marked blue in this slide. The red business section encompasses our railway systems and solutions, doors and boarding system, and the after-sales market. The railway infrastructure business is mainly Pinch. Doors, boarding system and interior is mainly Bode, but also SBIS when we talk about refurbishment solutions. The blue business section encompasses our DC components and application business, with the rail sector being just one traditional market which we deliver components to. That mainly Schaltbau, but also SBIS for power electronic systems and solutions. Going forward, we will utilize our key DC expertise, which we gained and built up in the railway sector since decades, more and more also in the new high growth markets like new energy, new industry, and e-mobility. Therefore, basically, we are expanding our business from power supply and DC distribution or storage in trains to charging infrastructure for e-buses or even ferries. Another great example, our DC contractors for batteries and traction in the rail sector have been modified to become DC contactors for battery-powered DC application and in stationary use cases. The red business section, our core business, currently accounts for roughly two-thirds of our group revenue, but less than a third of our EBIT. Therefore, we want to grow in particularly the blue business section, which currently accounts for roughly only one-third of our group revenue, but for more than two-thirds of our EBIT. The conceptual slide 16 shows we will take a look at our financial performance in our core rail business in compared to our peer group and the rail market as a whole. We do grow faster than the moderate 2 to 3% of the market, but we are below the average EBIT margin of the peer group. Going forward, we want to keep the growth dynamic, but significantly improve the margin in our core rail business and accelerate the growth in the highly profitable new markets for DC components and applications. Our goal is a high single-digit EBIT margin for the whole group, latest until 2026. So in a nutshell, and this is being seen on slide 17, we have four main strategic pillars which we will work on. Number one, and also top priority throughout the whole group, is the improvement of our financial performance. Number two is the profitable growth of our core business, rail infrastructure and rolling stock. Number three is harnessing and growing the after-sales service business, including refurbishment. And number four is expanding our business to high growth markets like new energy, new industry and e-mobility by developing new DC applications. And cultural change is key. We need to keep up a momentum to pursue the change. And this has been shown on slide 18. Our situation is as follows. We have a good plan. We are finally, in the last 3 seconds of our countdown, launching the space shuttle. It's still stable at the starting pad. The engine starts. Soon we will gain speed and a new momentum. This has to do with commitment and culture within our company. Based on my experience, we will experience an acceptance for change within the next 12 to 18 months, which is very different from now. That is the point of highest acceleration in our chart. And if we maintain then this momentum, the sky is our limit. I'm sure with our four strategic focus area, our business model will create additional value. I want to make it very clear. We will not be achieving skyrocketing results in short term, but we are indeed aiming for much higher returns than we have today. We are not talking about a superficial stuff here. Real stuff, a lot of work. For example, look at slide 19 with some examples. For example, the full potential plan we have established at Bode, the implementation of policy deployment in order to show the progress of implementation of our programs, and see the different innovations across all our business segments and many, many other initiatives. Slide 20 gives us an understanding how we want to use the value of batteries. Why do we think these new markets are so attractive? It's all connected to batteries. Due to e-mobility applications, battery technologies have so much advanced over the recent years. Now, batteries become core components within fast-growing applications such as e-mobility, for charging as well as for recuperation systems, but also for stationary use cases. We call them new energy and new industry applications, for example, for distributing and storing renewable energy or for ensuring uninterrupted power supply. All these battery applications need components and DC applications to ensure safety and reliability, just as our traditional portfolio ensures this in the core rail sector, as I have pointed out earlier. We do have the knowledge and the technology to deliver these components and applications because this is something we have been doing for years in our core markets. That is why we define growing our blue business as one of our four most important strategic pillars. Slide 21 shows number four is where we really see highly attractive and profitable growth opportunities for us. The rail DC components market stagnated more or less at a 2% growth, but the e-mobility market and also the energy storage market have an incredible double-digit growth. But these markets will be divided today, not tomorrow. That's why we need to position ourselves as fast as possible as a leading supplier for DC components and applications exactly in these new markets. And with our experience and strong market position in the rail sector, we have a very, very good chances to succeed. So if you look at page 22, only at our blue business section, what is a realistic revenue split of our business in the different markets in 2021? For stationary charging, we are estimating roughly 10% with DC components and applications for fast charger, mobile charger, or depot charging. And by the way, we are already market leader for depot charging stations for e-buses in Germany. For e-mobility, we are not talking about components for cars, but mostly for trucks and logistic vehicles. We see there a potential for 25% of the revenue for our blue business section by 2026. So what's really important to understand is that our plans for this market are not some shiny, nicely crafted vision which sounds somewhat plausible, but we are talking about real concrete opportunities which are part of our business plan going forward. Please look at page 23. For example, we already have a strong sales funnel for charging and automotive customers. We currently have 11 customers for charging who are already at a design freeze or we already enjoy initial ordering. For automotive, we have 5 in these design freeze and ordering phases and are already in a technical discussions with more than 20 customers. So this is business for real. But what's also important it's not just the automotive sector, but also the new energy, new industry markets where we see opportunities. This e-mobility sector, however, just seems to be a bit more advanced currently. Page 24, we see indeed many DC applications for stationary use of batteries, also outside e-mobility market. We are delivering connectors for these applications, as well as battery test systems, stationary energy storages, and DC microgrids. Come back to the expected revenue split in 2026. For the new energy, new industry markets, we are estimate roughly 10% of our blue revenue by 2026. Once again, our components and applications are already available. We are already delivering into this market segment today. We estimate that our DC railway components and applications will still contribute roughly 55% to our blue revenues by 2026. As said, this is a very stable business and we want to grow it while improving our profitability there. To take advantage of these high growth markets, we need highly flexible modern production, which meets industrial and automotive requirements, and that's what we want to achieve with our new next factory in Velden, page 25. This factory will also be a flagship example of a modern zero carbon industrial production unit and a showcase which will also help us to prove our point that tomorrow's factories are powered by a DC microgrid. Rest assured that we'll monitor spending on the new factory very closely. We plan on a modular completion so that we will be able to produce in the facility already in spring 2022, and we will add further sections or production line systematically. Next is a prerequisite for being able to address and succeed in these new markets. But the factory will also help us with the production of components for our core markets. 26 shows we will fund this investment in future growth by additional 60 million utilizing a mandatory convertible bond with a maturity date in fall 2023. These funds will directly fuel two of our four main strategic levers, the profitable growth in our core business and addressing the new high growth markets like new energy, new industry and e-mobility. And in addition, it will increase our financial robustness. Please, Stefan, go ahead.
Thank you, Jürgen. Let me quickly outline the use of proceeds on slide 27. We plan to use 15% to 20% of the proceeds from the mandatory convertible bonds for selective small tuck-in acquisitions in our core business to improve our cost position and complete our product portfolio. 50% to 60% of the proceeds will be used for building our new next factory. Again, the prerequisite for establishing ourselves as a matrix player in these new markets. With the remaining 25% to 30% of the proceeds, we plan to increase our financial flexibility for strategic investments, opportunistic investments, and also to increase our financial robustness. On next slide, 28, you will see the principles of the mandatory convertible bond and also the benefits of this instrument. The mandatory convertible bond is expected to be issued in April. Shareholders will have a subscription right. We expect the BaFin's approval of the prospectus in March. As announced yesterday evening, we have concluded a pre-placement agreement for this bond with our major investors and managed to secure 100% of the volume of the planned bonds already. This pre-placement agreement is a very valuable token of trust for us. Therefore, we would like to thank all of our investors, explicitly those who signed the pre-placement agreement in our call today. Thank you for this trust and your support. Moving next to slide 29, you will see the mid- and long-term guidance for the Schalper Group. With this proceeds from the mandatory convertible bonds, we are fueling our strategic goals and also initiatives. We expect our compound average growth rate to raise to 8%. We plan to achieve a revenue between 750 and 800 million by 2026, with our blue business accounting for approximately 40% of the total revenue. And we plan to increase our EBIT margin to a high single-digit number until 2026. Jürgen.
We are certain that our reshaped business model and strategy will give us the strong thrust needed to reach these financial goals. We are all ready for the takeoff, and we will see a great momentum in our company to reach new levels of performance. To wrap up, I would like to summarize the key takeaways for today. Real sector is core business, transferring key technologies to new industry, new energy, and e-mobility. We will drive organic profitable growth in our core business and consider selective small tuck-in acquisitions to improve our cost position and to complete product portfolio. Our next factory enables us to develop new DC components and solutions dedicated for the new high-growth markets, new energy, new industry, and e-mobility. The additional financing will boost our strategic initiatives. Proceeds will be used for construction of the next factory, for selective tuck-in acquisitions in our core business, and to reduce to increase financial robustness so that we gain more flexibility for further strategic investments. And last but not least, I want to close with our top management priority. As a management team, we are strongly committed to create sustainable value. We will optimize our financial performance throughout the whole group while accelerating profitable growth and broaden our footprint, especially in high-growth markets. And now, we are, of course, happy to answer any questions you might have. Hi.
Many thanks to Jürgen and Stefan for presenting the latest exciting developments at Schalper Group. With this, I hand over to the operator to manage the Q&A process.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a maximum of 3 questions. If you have a question which is already answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 0 and 2 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. We have a first question from Alexander Hauenstein, DZ Bank. The floor is yours.
Yes, thank you. Hello, it's Alex Hauenstein from DZ Bank. Three questions, if I may. First of all, with regard to the guidance 2021, I was wondering whether you could give us a bit of a flavor about different segments on the revenue side and on the profitability line. Especially, I'm interested how the components will develop potentially in the first half of 2021. In terms of profitability here, are we going to see here a potential slowdown? The next question is on the project Digital Stellwerk. Could you comment, please, about the nature and, let's say, the potential of the total size here, and maybe even some indications regarding profitability, as well as the envisaged timeline for the stimulus programs that Schaltbau might benefit from, and how much of this is already put into Pinch Q4 order intake and sales, please? And the last question part would be on your growth and profitability strategy. It sounds quite convincing. I'm wondering whether you could share some views here, where could be the bottlenecks and the critical points here. So where is a potential for, let's say, a delay or maybe even a readjustment after a while? That would be good to understand here where the critical points and focus is here. Thank you.
Thank you. Here's Jürgen Brandes speaking. I think you have three questions for three of us in the management board. Let's start with Stefan regarding the guidance.
Yeah, so hey, Alex, good to meet you and look forward to working together with you here. On your first question with regards to the guidance 2021, on the group and also on a more segment level. So again, we expect the financial performance of the company to improve in 2021 on a modestly growing top line. Let me talk about the top drivers on the top line, and then what we see are the key drivers for the bottom line. So the key top line drivers will be for sure the SBRS segment based on a very healthy backlog in combination also with our Pinch segment, and the revenue is partially driven in the Pinch segment with the pilot order from a digital interlocking system. We expect more or less stable revenues from our door border business and also from our GmbH business, and this is again largely dependent on how the COVID-19 pandemic is developing, but at the moment we're seeing more or less a stable revenue base for those two businesses. On the bottom line, and talking about the EBIT margin, we expect a margin improvement of roughly 100 basis points year over year, and the margin improvement is largely driven by our Bode business. As you know, we put a lot of focus on our Bode business, and the key priority of the Bode business is to improve the profitability. So this is the key driver, and then we expect from the other, more smaller businesses, based on higher revenues, also the operating leverage, which should also improve the EBIT margin. And lastly, on the Schaltbau GmbH, or the component business, here we expect more or less a stable EBIT margin on a like-for-like basis for 2020-2021. And lastly, on your question, first half for the components business, I think the current trading of the business looks promising. So we're seeing the first time over the last 12 months the order intake is picking up, and picking up at a nice rate here. That makes us confident that we're also in a good, better position for the first half of 2021. With that, I will hand over to Volker with regards to the second question on the digital interlocking system.
Yes. Hello, Mr. Hauenstein, Volker Kreglin speaking. Smart approach, one question, but actually four questions for digital program, but I will answer all the questions.
Thanks.
First of all, we expect beginning, or not beginning, but in the first quarter of this year, we expect another order intake of level crossings out of this COVID-19 economic stimulus program. Since the project of our digital interlocking will also need some level crossings, also the other competitors, which win some digital interlockings, will get some level crossings from us. So out of this program, we will receive some level crossings and lower range of double-digit million order intake. Further, digital interlockings are not expected out of this program because it's limited to this what was already awarded. The next digital interlocking program will start in 2024. So in 2023, we will finish our interlocking. We will set it in operation. Then we have a pilot, so we can apply for a frame contract of Deutsche Bahn for digital interlocking. And then from 2024, which is the official date also of the rollout program of Deutsche Bahn, we will participate from that on. This is what we have to understand. I think this were the question.
Thank you, Volker. And now to the last question regarding the growth strategy. I can tell you I'm very relieved with the support of our investors giving us a chance now to build the next factory, because our current factory at Velden was congested. We had no chance to expand in this factory, and now with the chance to build this new factory with new production concepts gives us a chance to expand actually into these industrial markets. That means higher number of components based on a standard design. And I tell you, all the people are quite excited because we see the customer talking to us as an expert. We see really many opportunities, not just the charging infrastructure everybody's talking about. We see already orders, for example, in test benches for batteries and so on. So with the chance now to build this factory, I can tell you we are really excited and we will see Schaltbau growing in this area.
So you're not that much worried about any potential bottlenecks or delays here, or which would be the most critical part
The bottleneck was not to have our next factory ready by 2022. If the financing would not be secured, we would have a delay there. But now with the decision and the capabilities we have published yesterday, this is a great chance now to realize and to handle all bottlenecks. It's not a human bottleneck. It's not a technology bottleneck. It was just the factory as a bottleneck, and now we are able to handle it.
Okay, sounds good. And so now the risk profile moves more to the ramp-up risk of this kind of investments, if I understand that correctly.
Yeah, but I can tell you we have planned it for months. So the plans we have already by the government, the Baugenehmigung, I don't know how it's called in English, and so we have already caterpillars getting over our solids, so we are ready to go.
Okay. Thanks a lot for that, and all the best for it, and Mr. Munz, looking forward to it. Thank you.
Pleasure.
We have a next question by Florian Falschifter, Stifel Europe.
Yeah, morning everyone. The guidance actually, the strategy actually looks really promising. Also, welcome Steffen, looking forward to work together with you again. Also three question blocks from my side. So the first one would be on the impairment on the write-down of SPI in Italy. Is there any further risk of further write-downs, impairments also outside of SPI? And would you see the adjusted run rate also beyond 2021? Going forward. Then the second one would be on the strategy, and maybe you could provide us a little bit more details, especially on growth and on profitability. To give a bit more flesh to the bone, so maybe a split between operational leverage, cost-cutting and product mix in the margin improvement, and for growth. I guess we already covered that, but especially for the margin improvement to get a better feeling for that. And then my third one on the convertible bond, do you think this will be sufficient to achieve your 2026 goals, or might there be an opportunity or necessity for another debt or equity measure? And for the M&A targets, do you already have specific targets in mind?
So I'll start here. Hey Florian, good to see you again, and look forward to working with you together on this end here. On your impairment question, I think it was to a lesser extent on the impairment that we recorded. So it was, again, 5.1 million euro that we had to record in Q4, and that affected not only the group but the Schaltbau GmbH segment. And I think then you have the figures to also adjust maybe the EBIT by that, what I would clearly call a one-time effect.
My question was on the reason point. Sorry.
Sorry?
My question was on the reason for the write-down.
The reason for the write-down, you know, there are clear IFRS standards, and we do it on a regular annual basis. And, you know, the basis normally is the midterm plan of each legal entity. And specifically for SPIE, clearly the midterm plan showed a lower EBIT as a result of current and also planned market developments, and also more specifically a negative working capital development and a change in the weighted average cost of capital. So all three factors came together, and that exactly triggered the impairment that we recorded at the end of Q4. So that being said, the good news is I think now we're coming out of a couple of years from impairment. I think we're now pretty feeling good that we have almost all our risks kind of impaired, and we do not see any significant risk going forward from the impairment side.
Great, thanks. And the EBIT margin can be taken as a run rate, 21, and maybe also going forward?
So actually, we're guiding at the moment on the group level. We're guiding for a roughly 5% EBIT margin, which is a 100 basis points improvement. But generally, kind of for the GmbH specifically, if you adjust for the impairment, normally you can assume that is the run rate if there is no other significant volume changes that we do not expect at the moment. So let's move over to, I think, the second question. Florian, I will hand over to Jürgen.
Okay, first of all, as you see, our DC component business, which is still currently the highest area, will only grow by 1 to 2%. But this is, of course, a very stable factor, and it's finally our cash cow in the GmbH business. And then on top of it, we see there are different phases. As the battery is being used in different applications. So the first use in batteries, by the way, is in vehicles. But I'm not talking about cars, but I'm talking more also into logistic vehicles, into trucks. You will see that especially in inner cities, this company business is coming up. Then what everybody need to plan for is the infrastructure in terms of charging infrastructure. By the way, we do see charging infrastructure in at UPS, at Deutsche Post in the future, much more. So it's not just the infrastructure we see at our fuel stations in the future. And then you would also need to build up test facilities for battery power packs, etc. Also, this is already a business where we are in. And when you look at the growth figures we have shown from independent search firms like McKinsey, like Bloomberg, I will not discuss with you whether it is 10%, 15%, or 20%, but definitely double-digit. And therefore, this is our estimation. We will put by 2026 about 45% additional revenue onto this blue segment, which consists of partially SBRS, but mostly the whole Schaltbau GmbH business, the component business.
And let me take the third question, Florian, on the convertible. I think it was, to a lesser extent, on the convertible itself. It was more on further funding here. So maybe roughly on our cash projection going forward based on the mid-long-term guidance. I think with the investment in the new factory, the next 2 years, so 2021 and 2022, will be heavily driven by CapEx outflows. In other words, we expect to be free cash flow negative in 2021 and more or less break even in 2022. This is largely due to the investments in Felden, but also as we outline, 1 to 2 selective tuck-in acquisitions. And we expect, if everything comes together, beginning with 2023 to really realize a significant positive free cash flow. So the rate is an operating cash flow of significantly more than 10% of the revenue, I think is a proxy that we would like to outline. In other words, if everything comes together as planned at the moment, then we do not see a need for additional equity and also debts, because we will rather sooner than later start to generate the cash ourselves. This is the clear plan, but also from a cash profile, keep in mind the next 2 years will be heavy CapEx plans, but now with the convertible, we have the funding in place.
Okay, thanks. Very clear. Maybe one follow-up here. So would you intend to start paying dividends from 23 on?
It's a good question. To be honest, yes, for sure. We will think and start to paying dividends the sooner the better. However, I think to manage expectations, 2021 and 2022 will be years where we clearly focus on the strategic initiatives which the investment needed, because we believe we can really create significant value for all investors. And then let's start with for the year 2022 and 2023. I think it's a realistic time horizon to think about paying a dividend. Mm-hmm. Think about.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. Let's see what happens in the 3 years in between. Right. And on the M&A targets, you already have some there.
So I'll take that one here also as well quickly. So M&A is not a core focus area. We want to focus on organic growth, especially on the DC component and applications, where we really see promising end markets. We're open for M&A opportunities, but more on a selective way, or you can also call it opportunistic way. We look for tuck-in acquisitions. Tuck-in naturally are smaller acquisitions than large transformational acquisitions. And it's very important. We want to complete, strengthen our competitive position in the core rail business. And we look for targets that can complete our product portfolio, one, and can help us to improve our cost position, two. And these are clearly targets, but we will not start any kind of adventures. There needs to be clear strategic goals. There needs to be clear a strategic fit. There needs to be a business plan in place. And also we need to be sure about the execution risk of M&As. So you can rely, we will be very selective when it comes to M&A going forward.
Great. Then thanks a lot for answering all my questions and have a great remainder of the day.
We have a next question by Christian Koch, Wartburg Research.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my questions. Maybe first, I truly appreciate your comments on value creation and also a more efficient capital allocation. I think this is a very important issue. I wonder whether you could shed some light on how this is linked to management remuneration. Do you have EVA parameters also in your contracts? You're new to the board now, or you have new management roles in the board. Maybe you can shed some light on that. Second part, in the presentation, you said you're not happy with the margin of Bode. You're not there where you want to be. Could you actually share where you want to get, and or to put it in a broader perspective for the entire group, you envisage high single digit margin by 2026. I do not want to know an exact breakdown, but maybe can you share some thoughts about what directions you have in mind for the margin, prospective margin level in the three divisions? And last question is on cash flow. If I'm not mistaken, in the 9 months report, you stated a minus 4 million for operating cash flow. In the appendix of the presentation, you have a full year operating cash flow of 32 million. So this looks like a very sharp or a very strong cash generation in the fourth quarter. Am I mistaken, or if not, what was the main driver? Did you do some additional factoring? What is the background there? Thank you.
Hey, Christian. Good morning. This is Stefan, and also look forward to working together with you. I'll take all three questions here. So first of all, on the management remuneration, with a new management team in place, I think we have contracts that are clearly linked with the incentives of our investors and shareholders. So we have a typical remuneration structure of German listed companies, base, short-term and long-term. And the short-term incentive is linked to either profitability and or kind of return on capital. Also here, return is a key incentive for the management team to drive. And more important, the long-term incentive is clearly linked to the share price performance of the company. So if we're driving the right initiatives, we are increasing our returns. Therefore, we're increasing our share price. And when everything comes together, you benefit and we will benefit. So we have clearly our skin in the game, which is very important. Also, it's required. And we are more than happy to also co-invest in the company. Jürgen has already invested, and I will invest going forward. So also there is a clear commitment of the management team that we believe in the story. The second point is on the margin with regards to Bode. Yes, as outlined, we are not happy with the margin of Bode. We need to say there is a clear improvement in place. Just as I mentioned, as I outlined, the 2019 EBIT, also EBIT margin, was positively, significantly positively impacted by the other operating income from the flooding damage. So if you normalize that one here, then you would see that last year we were negative. This year we are clearly positive. So we're moving in the right direction, but we are not there where we wanted to be. However, here the sky is not the limit, but in that business, I think we also need to be realistic. We talk about whatever peer group margins of between 6 to 8% EBIT margins. I think this is clearly what we think we can accomplish, and we work quite hard to close the gap over the next coming years. But again, the clear focus when we talk about profitability is to improve the profitability of the Bode business. And that also leads me to your other question here on the more coming margins on the segment level. I think clearly the biggest improvement will be from the Bode segment as outlined. Then I think from an impact perspective, the GmbH is also quite an important piece. Here I think there is the new business and the legacy business. We expect to keep the margin, the relative margin, constant in the legacy business, and we hope to manage the margin in the new business. However, the new business kind of will not have that kind of attractive margins than the rail business. So we expect a slight dilution of the margin going forward, but only a slight dilution. And then the last question, Christian, on the free cash flow and on the operating cash flow. Yes, you're right. We generated 37 million of operating cash flow in Q4. And the key drivers are, one, we really generated almost 17 million of cash from net working capital. I think also as outlined on the last call, management put a clear focus on managing working capital. And clearly 17 million was generated only in Q4. And now we will move that networking capital practice to a more sustainable practice, to not have that year-end kind of improvements, but more on a sustainable basis. And the good news also is that almost all our segments contributed to that 17 million of networking capital improvement, so it's across-the-board improvement. And also what contributed significantly to the operating cash flow in Q4 was the prepayment that we received out of the pilot order from the digital interlocking system. That was also a clear driver for the operating cash flow in Q4.
Thank you. Can you quantify the prepayment?
We can only, due to kind of very strict NDAs with a customer, we can give you only an indication. So it's a low double-digit euro million amount in terms of a prepayment, but we cannot disclose the exact numbers due to very strict NDAs.
Okay, and this comes on top to the 17 million working capital improvement.
Yes,
you have managed.
Yes, you are right.
Okay, so these two elements sum up then to, let's say, something between 25 and 30. And then the rest is simply operating performance and earnings.
Yes, you're directionally right.
Okay, thank you very much. That's clear.
We have a next question by Jonathan van Oven. The floor is yours. Mr. van Oven? The floor is yours.
Good morning, Jo. Good morning, Jo. Anderson. A few questions from my side. The first one is about the large investment plan of Deutsche Bahn of the over 80 billion euros. Can you give a bit more details and flavor if there is any delay due to COVID, or is everything still according to plan? I think you mentioned in the presentation that it will start in 2023. Second question is about the margin, and just for some clarifications. In a previous answer, you said the peer group margin is 6 to 8% as an EBIT. Did you mean that for Bode or for the group total? A sub-question about the margin about Schelbo GmbH. You expected a stable margin, but is that 14% including impairment, or is it excluding impairment? And then the third question is about after service, that is now a clear strategic objective. Can you tell us sort of what a percentage of after service is now in total revenues, and what of course the target is in 2026? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think the first question goes to Volker regarding the Deutsche Bahn investments. Volker?
Yes. Okay, Volker speaking. Hello. So the investment of Deutsche Bahn, we have to understand there is an agreement between the government and Deutsche Bahn about this 86 billion euro, which will be spent in the next 10 years. This is what we call digital machine track. Yeah. Actually, this money will be spent year by year, 8 billion per year, and they have already started with this investment. But for the investment, for the interlocking and level crossing, they need some planning. And they want to have some more types of interlockings ready. As we have, for example, this pilot project. And so therefore, they will start with the rollout program completely for this interlocking and level crossing and ETCS part in 2023. This is why there is a little bit time shift in. But actually, the program has been already started. And of course, there maybe there are now some COVID delays in the infrastructure in when they build some bridges or tunnels. But for the interlocking and level crossing, I don't see this at the moment because the planning is so ahead. And when they are ready, they will send it to the market.
Thank you.
Thank you, Volker. Stefan?
So let us move to the second question. Couple of sub-questions here. So first of all, on the peer group. So we defined the peer group more or less linked to our current core business, and the current core business is rail infrastructure and rolling stock. So that is more or less the peer group that we defined, and companies comprising the peer group are Knorr-Bremse, Wabtec, Foslo, Alstom, Stadler, you know, all that kind of companies. And therefore, it's more tied to the legacy or core rail business, and the 6 to 8% is the median or the average of the peer group. And exactly, we expect, as we outlined, to achieve an EBIT margin in the mid and in the long term of at the minimum the median of the peer group, so at the minimum means the 6 to 8%, and therefore we're guiding for a high single-digit EBIT margin at the latest by 2026. So I think that gives you a clear indication what we mean by high single-digit if you have the reference of our peer group in mind. I outlined already what we think can be accomplished by Bode. Again, there is not the room for a double-digit EBIT margin, but there's a clear room for improving the EBIT margin from where we are at the moment to this, what I mentioned, the 6 to 8% over the long term. And on the GmbH, I think it's more realistic to take the average of the last 3 years and then also adjusting for the impairments, and that should give you a good indication for going forward for the core business. And again, the growth will come from the new business, and the new business will be slightly dilutive than the core business, and that should give you a good indication for what we think is a realistic margin development of the GmbH mid to long term.
Okay, thank you. And just a follow-up for Bode, if you look at the timing of the improvement, is it more in the first 3 years or for the back-end loaded towards 2026?
West Coast country.
We have two topics to handle at Bode, particularly the bus business, and this is very much related also how we are more utilizing best cost country locations. You know, we have in Poland a factory, but we are also thinking about different opportunities in this regard. And if you allow me, I would also answer the service question. I like to answer it in the following way. For the whole red sector, red business, the service business up to now is around 12%. And we see opportunities to let it grow to approximately 20%. And you can imagine this after-sales market can be handled with a double-digit EBIT margin.
Thank you very much.
The next question is by Michael Junghans. The floor is yours.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you very much for my question. I would like to thank most thank Mr. Mundsberg, my board. I have three questions here left, and the first one is on Bode here again. Could you give us a little bit more color here about your planned measures you're now going to implement this year at Bode, because I understood that Bode is going to be the clear margin driver here in the group here for 2021, but I still lack a little bit of the insight what kind of measures you are specifically now going to implement in 2021 to improve Bode's margin this year. The second one would be on inflationary pressure currently, what we're seeing here on, coming from the market. So currently, are you seeing any kind of inflationary pressure here on the side of raw materials? And if yes, do you see headroom to raise prices in 2021 in order to protect your gross margin here? And the last question I have would be again on your very good working capital development you had in Q4. So I got it. It was probably strongly driven by advanced payments you received from your major customer here. However, as I remember in Q3, you have indicated that the supply chain bottlenecks, you had foreseen this, which could also be an issue for you going forward. Do you actually see that this supply chain bottleneck situation has now eased a little bit or got easier now as we headed into 2021? Thanks for your comments on this.
Okay. First, the plan to Bode. We call it full value, full potential plan. So we have go through each and every lever, and I would just elaborate a little bit on the major levers. First of all, it's about especially rail business, the question how much on value add we are doing in Kassel or what we are doing in Poland. And we have now in the meantime really expanding Poland to a facility that is top-notch, I would say, and we are able now to do the a real combined value chain between Kassel and Bode. And in regards to the rail car business as well, design to cost is a major lever, not only from a design perspective, but also together with the supplier base we are doing in order to reduce the complexity what we are buying. And by reducing the complexity, we can also move some parts and pieces from a procurement standpoint away from Germany into more lead cost countries. But the most headache we do have, clearly, and we pointed it also last time, is within the bus business. Here we have clearly some difficult interfaces, but now in the meantime we were able to clarify those interfaces with the customer, meaning we could simplify our product scope. But also here we see a major need to use lead cost countries for the value chain, and here we are having a clear direction from the manufacturing perspective where we do our bus stalls in the future. So generally speaking, it's about design, it's about complexity, and it's about value chain orientation. Inflation, probably, it's the next one, right?
Yeah, at the moment, yeah, there is some inflationary pressure. However, we do not see a significant pressure on our P&L that is going above and beyond what we have included in the guidance, but we have to put that kind of subject to. But at the moment, we are still covered.
Yeah.
And the same goes, I think, for your question on the supply chain bottlenecks. At the moment, the situation is stable. We do not see any major supply chain bottlenecks that might interfere or disrupt our production processes. Therefore, also everything is under control. You can rely on us.
Yeah, thank you. Very helpful comments on that. Thanks.
We have a next question by Lukas Spang, journalist. The floor is yours.
Yes. Hi, good morning, gentlemen, and welcome, Mr. Munst, at Schalpo. So all of my questions are for you, Mr. Munst. The first question is for the Pinch segment, and you mentioned in the press release from yesterday evening that you also had a one-time effect from the deconsolidation of the Pinch Brazil. Can you quantify this effect? I would make a one-by-one question.
So this is right. So we had a what do we call a one-time effect from the deconsolidation of in the Pinch segment. The impact was a positive approximately €1 million that we recorded in 2020.
Okay. And then on your outlook for 2021 on the margin side, if I exclude the impairment of 5.1 million and also the 1 million you mentioned right now, we result more or less in the 5% EBIT margin for 2020 in an adjusted base. So your margin outlook seems to be very cautious, and maybe you can elaborate a little bit more why you look just for a 5% EBIT margin in 2021.
Yeah, first of all, I think we indicated there is a clear focus improving the financial performance of the company, and this starts normally with the profitability. And we also indicated that we expect roughly 5%. There is also a range included with more likely a higher end than the lower end of the range. And, you know, every time this is based on the bottom-up planning, and there is always a risk and opportunity profile, and we're feeling pretty good about the current outlook. If everything goes perfect, I think we have more upside opportunities than downside risks, but it's too early to state that one here. Therefore, again, we feel pretty comfortable about the roughly 5% EBIT margin.
Okay, very clear. And then last question, you mentioned the more focus on also the ROCE, and I think it's very, from an investor perspective, it's very welcome to look more on ROCE as well. But you didn't give us any numbers or targets you have for ROCE. So are you still in plans to quantify this ROCE KPI targets, or what is your plan or your goal for the ROCE in the coming years?
Yes. So, again, we will move the focus more and more into the clear value creation direction, and ROCE is normally the clear indicator for creating value if it's clearly above the weighted average cost of capital. We ended 2020 at an 8% ROCE. That is clearly not sufficient, and at the moment we would say we were target a clear double-digit ROCE for our mid to long-term development. Let us give a until the next call to specify that number here, but you can rely, we will target a clear double-digit ROCE in the mid to long term.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Great. Thank you.
We have no further question at the moment.
Okay, then I would like to thank you all participants for this call, and I'm looking forward to work with you also in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dear ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect it.